heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Twee bijzondere mensen in de Crystal Cathedral. En als je nog nooit gekeken hebt naar Hour of Power, dan wordt dit wel een heel bijzondere uitzending. Want in de Crystal Cathedral spreekt Nick Vujicic. Hij heeft geen handen en hij heeft geen benen. Maar hij heeft een ongelooflijk verhaal. Hij reist over de hele wereld om te vertellen wat God in zijn leven heeft gedaan. En dat je zelfs zonder armen en benen helemaal gelukkig kunt zijn. Zeker voor jonge mensen de moeite waard om naar te kijken. En dan Dr. Ben Carson. Bijzondere chirurg. Een man met begenadigde handen. Ik heb ooit, en dat vind ik een voorrecht, in het John Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore gestaan om een operatie mee te maken van 13 uur toen hij twee kinderen van elkaar ging scheiden. Onvergetelijk, ongelooflijk. En hij vertelt in de Crystal Cathedral over zijn leven dat inmiddels verfilmd is. En dan veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. En als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, Willem van den Aartsen. Antiekhandelaar die naast antiek nog heel bijzondere dingen doet. En dat ga je zelf meemaken. Kortom, een boeiende uitzending van Hour of Power.
Choir, you are. Thank you for coming. This is the day that God has made. Why? And why are you included in it? What is he up to? I don't know. So, we can all expect surprises in the heart in these minutes. One thing is true. This is the first day of the rest of history. And so, dear God, bless every person who has come. Many have come just to give thanks, to give their gifts of love and gratitude, to give their hearts fresh, bright, clean, anew to Jesus Christ. And oh God, we've all come to say thank you. We're here. We made it. Can look back, and if we knew what you know, it's a miracle we're alive. We don't know how often you've touched us to save us. And oh God, we're here to be shaped, to change for the better. New opportunities are with us that never were here before. Help us to see them, to size them up, and then to seize them. In the name of Christ, amen.
may be seated. Thank you. Let us open our hearts for the word of the Lord. From Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. This is the word of the Lord.
A young man named Dr. Ben Carson became the first doctor in history to successfully separate vertically joined conjoined twins. Imagine. First in history. Today, Ben remains the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. Recently, a TNT movie was made about Ben's life called Gifted Hands. It starred Oscar award-winning actor Cuba Gooding Jr. as Dr. Ben Carson. I have a little clip here. It's about Ben when he was a young boy, ran with the guys in the streets. And you will see, it's been created by filmmakers, how he got mad at another street kid, pulled out his knife to stab the kid in the stomach. But the knife hit the belt buckle and didn't go in. And it scared him so much he ran home to his home, found a Bible, became a Christian, and said, I'm not going to kill people, I'm going to heal people. And boy, has he ever done that. Watch for the clip.
You like this? You call this music?
It's better than what you like. Come here, man. Quit proving how stupid you are. Don't act so ignorant.
Go to hell, man.
What'd you say to me?
Get off!
Benny! What did you do?
Lord, you have to take this temper away from me. Please, please, just take it.
Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him I would fall. When I am sad to hear my voice.
He's a trusted friend. I've known him for years. Not only a great doctor, but a man of great faith. The first doctor to try separating successfully conjoined twins. Now that took faith. So he's with us today. He has a new book out I'd like you to find out about. But right now, just welcome with me Dr. Ben Carson. Wow. What gave you the idea and then the courage to separate conjoined twins?
Well, it's interesting how that evolved, because I got very interested in the whole concept of cranially conjoined twins a few months before I heard anything about the first set, the Bender twins from West Germany in 1987. I don't know, somehow I just got so interested in the concept and started reading about it and discovered that one of the big problems was exsanguination or bleeding to death. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Bruce Wright, who was the chief of cardiothoracic surgery at that time. He was telling me about hypothermic arrest, where you can cool the body temperature until the heart stops, pump all the blood out, operate, get through the critical portions, reconstruct those vessels, pump the blood back in, start the heart back up. And I said, wow, this would be fabulous if we ever had a set of conjoined twins. But I'm never going to see a set, so why am I worried about this? Lo and behold, 2 months later, here they came with the question of, is there a way to save both of them?
And that I see God in that movement, don't you?
There's no question that God inspired that curiosity in me to start looking for a solution.
Yes.
Before the actual operation
carry on.
So, interestingly enough, when they came, I explained the possibility of doing this and maybe saving both of them, and they were very intrigued. The family was very intrigued, because the mother couldn't decide which one of the twins to allow to live. And this was the only alternative that she'd been given otherwise. Choose which twin should live, and we'll separate that one with the major vessels and let the other one die. And I must say that, you know, God helped to orchestrate this incredible operation that took 22 hours. At that time was thought to be the most complex operation known to man. I felt very, very fortunate to be the leader of that team. But
The leader of the team, and how many doctors were involved?
Well, we had 70 members of the team, doctors, nurses, technicians. And I always tell young people, especially, even though as the lead surgeon I got the credit, couldn't have done it without all those other people. And I always remind people, no matter what success you've had, you didn't do it by yourself. There were always a lot of other people who were involved in doing that. And you need to recognize that.
Did you pray privately before the surgery?
I always pray before every single surgery that I do, because God created the body. He knows the most about it. And I ask Him to give me wisdom. And, you know, so far He's been very generous with dealing out His wisdom. And I like to mention the fact that I think He has a sense of humor, because my middle name is Solomon, which of course was the wisest man who ever lived. He knew that I was going to be always asking him for wisdom. But I also start every day and end every day reading from the book of Proverbs, which was written by Solomon. And he knew that was going to happen. But also, when Solomon became the king of Israel, as you may or may not remember, the first thing that made him very famous, two women came to him claiming to be the mother of the same baby. And what did he do? He advocated dividing the babies. Well, that's when I became very well known, dividing babies also. So God has a sense of humor. He really does.
Now, I know you privately. One of the world's famous doctors whose name will be in history. But you are a believer in God. And how do you relate to Jesus Christ?
Well, you know, I personally think that my relationship with God and with Jesus is the most important thing in my life. And I totally believe that that's the reason that I've had the career that I've had. You know, I've had one after another once-in-a-lifetime situations come up and be able to be resolved successfully. Not because I'm such a great individual, but I think because God's influence has guided everything I've done. And that's why, you know, I called my autobiography Gifted Hands, because I believe it was a gift given to me from God. I don't believe that I'm more talented than anybody else, But I believe that God has given me a special gift, as he does to every single person, because he loves each one of us so much, and he wants us to be successful, and he gives us these enormous brains so that we can analyze what our special gifts and talents are, and then try to direct ourselves into those areas. And I think we will tend to excel to a much greater degree when we do that than if we just do things on our own.
You know, tell me, what are you into today? What's the most exciting venture or new venture that's in your mind?
Well, the most important thing for me today, I love the surgery. I still do lots of surgery on kids, trying to give them all a better life. You can't ask for a better thing to do than that. And also adults with trigeminal neuralgia, getting them out of pain. There's nothing better than that. But a lot of my energies and my wife's energy have been directed to education now, through our scholarship fund, the Carson Scholars Fund, through speaking engagements, through the movie that was recently done by TNT on my life, to inspire young people and to help them to realize that the person who has the most to do with what happens to you is you. And you have to recognize that this is so critically important, particularly to our nation at this time, because, you know, we only produce 60,000 engineers a year, 40% of whom are foreigners. China produces 392,000 engineers a year. I love China, but come on, we need to get on the stick here. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out where that's going in the future if we don't become a little more technologically savvy. And more importantly, if you go back and you look at our public education system over the years, you know, de Tocqueville, the French educator philosopher, brought a convoy over here over 100 years ago to study the American education system, because everybody was so impressed with the products that we turned out of our public schools. And if you really want to be impressed, go back and look at a fifth or sixth grade textbook from 100 to 150 years ago and see what the young people in our country were expected to know. The exit exam for the sixth grade, I doubt that most college graduates today could pass.
Really?
Absolutely. And we need to bring that level of sophistication back again. It's okay that we teach a lot of the other things, but we need to get back to really basic stuff. People need to know how to read. They need to know basic mathematics. They need to be able to figure out the common things of life and forget about all this politically correct stuff. You know, I think that that's very destructive to our society. And teach them. Teach them what made us into a great nation in the first place. It wasn't going around and throwing God out of our society and saying that we can't talk about him. You know, we were at one time a people where people would help their neighbors. If somebody's barn broke down, everybody would pitch in and help. Where people cared about other people's kids. Where every other word out of somebody's mouth wasn't, I'm going to sue you about this or that or the other. You know, we need to abandon this stuff. And the only way it happens is if people of faith with values and principles begin to stand up and not allow themselves to be pushed around anymore. Because the country belongs to us as well. We can't just give it up so easily.
Wow. And God knows you a lot better than you do.
Absolutely.
And there are blessings you don't have that you don't even know that you don't have them.
No question about it.
And so I'm praying that God will bless you before you even know you need it.
And I pray that he will continue to bless your ministry and all the influence that it has, not only in this country but around the world, as we begin to spend more time thinking about values and principles that made us into a great people, and stop thinking about all the negatives, because there are a lot more positives than there are negatives.
Thank you.
Keith Choir. Een geweldig gastkoor uit de state Indiana. Let the people praise thee. Nou, dat doet hij ook op zijn eigen manier. Hij is misschien wel de meest opmerkelijke antiekhandelaar van Nederland. En vandaar ook dat hij zijn antiekhandel het antiek paradijs heeft genoemd. Maar als je daar bent, dan ben je nog niet van hem af. Want altijd komt er één boodschap om de hoek naast het antiek. En dat is zijn onverwoestbare geloof in God. En dat spreekt hij gewoon uit, wie je ook bent en waar je ook vandaan komt. Mijn gast vanmorgen is een van de trouwste kijkers van Hour of Power, al 10 jaar lang, Willem Aerts. Willem, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Ja, daar zit je nou, hè?
Ja.
Met je grote mond.
Ja, inderdaad. Ja. Inderdaad.
Want die heb je toch?
Ja, niet echt een klein mondje, nee. Ik sta redelijk van mijn mening, dat weet ik. Maar ja, ik heb ook iets te vertellen tegen de mensen.
Ja.
Ik heb echt een boodschap.
Is het altijd al zo geweest?
Nee, dat is die boodschap uit mijn mond klinkt vanaf 15 augustus in 1987. Om 11:55 op zondagmorgen gebeurde me zoiets eigenlijk onvoorstelbaars. Op dat moment besefte ik dat niet. Maar vanaf dat moment eigenlijk is het toch wel zo dat ik over God gaan spreken ben. Terwijl ik eigenlijk nooit wist dat hij er was. Maar ik heb begrepen, later heb ik vast moeten stellen, dat er iets van God in mij gekomen was. En ik lees het gewoon in de Bijbel wat het is. Het is gewoon concreet na te lezen.
Ja.
Allemaal nooit geweten.
Ja.
Ooit iemand tegen mij gezegd, een collega, wie zoekt vindt, dat was voor mij genoeg. Waren maar drie woorden, wie zoekt vindt. Ik zeg, hè? Wat zei je? Hij zegt, wie zoekt vindt. Ik zeg, oh. Ik zeg, dan komt er ook een dag dat ik de baasje ken. Hij zegt, hoe dat zo? Ik zeg, nou, dan ga ik hem zoeken, dat zeg je toch? Er waren gewoon drie woorden, wie zoekt vindt. Dat was voor mij genoeg. En toen kwam het eerst, ik denk, 5 minuten niet uitgelachen met zijn vrouw. Hij zei, Willem, ga God zoeken. Ja, dat was natuurlijk helemaal, ja, dat was gewoon echt niet normaal. Dat dat uit mijn mond kwam. En toen ben ik s'avonds
thuis. Je was een ruige jongen, hè?
Ja, redelijk, ja. Ja. Ik heb alles eigenlijk toch wel een beetje door en meegemaakt. En ik reed naar huis s'avonds om 1:01. Ik zeg, achter mijn stuur gewoon, het was 1 kilometer rijden. Ik zeg, achter mijn stuur, ik zeg, God, ik geloof geen enkel bal vanuit de band. Ik zeg, maar, als u er wel bent, hier is Willem. Ik zeg, dan wil ik u graag kennen. Maar ik nodigde hem wel uit, want ik denk, het is te zot voor woorden dat hij er werkelijk is.
Ja.
En hij is gewoon uit te nodigen, ja, dan doe ik dat. Dus ik deed dat gewoon die avond dat ik naar huis reed. En ik heb later vast moeten stellen dat het begin was van, van zeg maar mijn verandering. Ja, dat is toen is het keerpunt eigenlijk begonnen. En trap voor trap, treetje voor treetje, heb God me daar gebracht waar hij eigenlijk elke mens wil brengen.
Want die totale verandering van jou, die wekte enorme verbazing in jouw dorp. Ik ken een paar mensen, die zei Willem Aerts, die vloekte bij elke zin 5 keer.
Mm-hmm.
En ineens was daar een andere Willem.
Ja, iedereen kent mijn zaak vrijwel, dus ja, die combinatie, ik kan het wel begrijpen. De combinatie is natuurlijk heel vreemd. Want ik sta zo een stukje te verkopen, handel. En ik sta zo het evangelie, een ander woord voor blijde boodschap, te vertellen tegen de mensen. Dat is een vreemde combinatie. Kunnen de mensen niet, er is veel tijddruk tegenwoordig. Ze krijgen altijd haast als ik eigenlijk dit ga vertellen. En de enkeling, ja, die gaat ermee weg. Want ja, wie zoekt vindt. Je moet het ook wel willen.
Ja.
Het is een keuze. Het is een keuze. Dat is maar één voorwaarde. Zeg ik wel eens tegen mensen om die God te gaan leren kennen. Je moet het willen, that's all.
Ja.
Als je het wilt, gebeurt het. En als je het niet wilt, zo lief is God. Die drinkt zich niet op. Ik drink me harder op. Ik zeg het wel eens meer tegen mensen. Ik drink me harder op als God. Want hij laat dan de schepping zien. Alles wat leeft, groeit en bloeit is van zijn hand. En hij laat daaraan zien dat hij in werkelijkheid is. 7 miljard mensen leven, die lopen rond. Niemand kan leven maken. Kijk, hier staat volop gras in de tuin. Maar welke mens kan 1 spriet maken die groeit, waar leven in zit? Kan niet 1 mens. Kan niet 1 mens. Dus een mens kan geen leven maken. En wij leven. Waar komt het leven vandaan? Ja, vraagteken zeggen ze dan. Ja, nee, geen vraagteken. Dat vraagteken kan gewoon, daar kun je een antwoord op krijgen. Maar je moet het willen.
Ja. Een van de aardige dingen die jij doet is zomaar een stelletje mensen in de keuken aan tafel te vragen en te zeggen, Job, ben je geïnteresseerd? Dan ga ik met jullie de Bijbel lezen. Ik heb dat zelf een paar keer meegemaakt. Ik vind dat prachtig zoals jij het uitlegt. Zware criminelen gaan door de knieën. Wat is je geheim?
Kijk, ik vertel de mensen gewoon zo het is. Hier zit een leegte, zeg ik. Kijk, als ik heb een familie, man, vrouw, kinderen waren het huis uitgeplaatst. Hun wogen nog, ik meen, 65 kilo met z'n tweeën. Die komen bij mij aangestrompeld iets aanbieden om weer een shot te halen. Ik zeg, Ik heb in ieder geval zijn rijbewijs heb ik geconfiskeerd. Ik heb het ingenomen. Ik zeg, je komt maandag aan naar een bijbelavond luisteren. Ja, ja, ben jij gek? Ben jij nou helemaal? Mijn rijbewijs terug. Ik zeg, niet terug. Ik zeg, je komt. Ik zeg, dan krijg je het terug. Dus ik ga wel eens ver. Maar het resultaat is nu, de familie is helemaal nieuw. Het is onvoorstelbaar. De meest gelukkige mensen die ik ken.
Dat doet me denken aan Arthur van Aalst. Die heb ik 5 jaar geleden mogen interviewen bij Out of Power. Die vertelde dat hij jou had ontmoet. Dus nou zien we jou 5 jaar later. En dat jij met hem gepraat had en gezegd hebt, jij moet naar Out of Power kijken. Maar jij hebt de man geholpen die een eind aan zijn leven wilde maken, geloof ik.
Hij was een grote verkoper toch wel geweest. En alles was hem ontglipt. En hij zag het eigenlijk niet meer zitten. En voordat we in Roosdal kwamen, barst hij in tranen uit. Want ik vroeg gewoon door. En die man, ja, die man is in ieder geval, dat mag ik wel zeggen, wij noemen dat dan tot geloof gekomen. Ja,
het leuke was dat je zei van, je moet ook elke zondag naar Out of Power kijken. Je gaf hem ongeveer de opdracht. Ja, dat is hij gaan doen.
Ja, ja.
En dat vind ik altijd mooi. Ik weet het. Wat vind jij van Out of Power?
Ik vind het gek. Ik vind feest elke zondag. Om 8 uur begint dat. Ik zorg dat ik al om 7:50 bij de buis zit. En dan zit ik daar. En dan geniet ik. Want nu zit ik zelf in die omgeving. Maar al die kleuren, al die pracht. Het is gewoon feest. Het is gewoon super. En dan het woord. Ja, dat is het woord. Ik herken dat maar al te goed. Want dat is het woord ook zelf. Wat voor mens dat er ook staat. Ik herken altijd weer woorden die ik zelf weer tegen de mensen vertel. Dus het is alleen maar 1 feest en 1 herkenning wat ik hoor. En ja, het grandioze natuurlijk van Hour of Power. Je kunt mensen, vooral op leeftijd, je kunt mensen gewoon aanbieden. Kun je gewoon zeggen van, kijk eens, van 8 tot 9 of van 9 tot 10, makkelijke tijden op zondagmorgen. Ik vind het geweldig. Ik vind het super, in 1 woord.
Zou je bijna tot ambassadeur benoemen als we die hadden, maar die hebben we niet. Maar je bent ambassadeur van de blijde boodschap.
Ja, en graag hè. Ik leef vandaag hè, dus vandaag kan ik het omdat ik leef. Hè. Als ik morgen mijn wekker stilsta, dan hoef ik het nooit meer te doen. Dus nou, vandaag kan ik het nog en daar ben ik zo blij mee. Ja. Dus ik pak de dag.
Je bent een man met heel veel humor.
Ja, gelukkig wel. Gelukkig wel. Er is niks mooier dan leven. Ja. Ik heb daar een vrouw, 46 jaar, moet je kijken, fantastisch gewoon. Ik heb alles. Ik heb
twee. Je vrouw is 46 jaar of ben je 46 jaar getrouwd?
Wij zijn 46 jaar getrouwd.
Okay.
En ja, inderdaad, mijn vrouw ziet er nog erg jong uit.
Kom er even bij.
Zo.
Nou.
En dat is het misschien.
Heel leuk dat jullie er samen zijn. En ja.
Dat is niks voor haar, dat is niks voor haar.
Maar goed, Willem, ik vond het ontzettend leuk dat je er was. Samen met je lieve echtgenoot.
Ja, dat is wederzijds.
De reis van je leven, daar heb je een beetje over verteld. Dit is het dikke boek van Dominee Schoele.
Ja.
En de reis van zijn leven.
Ja.
En volgende week is het Moederdag. En hier is een prachtig hangertje. En daar staat op, love never fails. Dus liefde geeft nooit op. Wat een prachtige tekst. En mag ik dat aan jou geven?
Nou, hartelijk bedankt.
Nee, geef jij het maar aan je vrouw. Eens kijken hoe jij dat nou doet.
Nou, Riet.
Ja, ontzettend bedankt.
En een zoen erbij?
En een zoen erbij? Zo in het openbaar. Oké.
Nou, kijk. Ja, zo gaan Hour of Power kijkers met elkaar om. Het mag, want het is volgende week Moederdag. Denk er ook om, Moederdag en deze prachtige halsketting is te bestellen op onze webwinkel www.hourofpower.nl. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. I don't have a God I can put on a stand, or a God I hold in the palm of my hand. I have a God holding me. And I don't have a God that I can create in the place I live with the money I make. I have a God, He made everything. So I don't need a temporary man-made deity, 'cause I got the real thing. I got the real thing. He's the Lord of all the earth, the maker of all things. Alone is the one true God. Kingdoms rise and fall, even through it all, He remains the one true God. Yeah. I don't have a thing that I got on my.
have a heart that is worthy of His, that I have a God who still loves me, yeah. So I don't need a temporary man-made deity, 'cause I got the real thing, I got the real thing, yeah, yeah. The Lord of all the earth, the maker of all things, He alone is the one true God. Kingdoms rise and fall, even through it all, He remains the one. Glory, the Lord strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? Yeah. He's the Lord of all the earth, the maker. It's the one true God. Kingdoms rise and fall, even through it all, He remains the one true God, the one true God, yeah, yeah. I have a God, He's holding.
My guest pastor today, who will be doing the sermon, is a friend of mine many, many years. He's traveled the world sharing his message of Christ to millions. Nick Vujicic is speaking this morning on faith, full assurance in the heart. Welcome, Nick.
All my life, I've loved adventure. All my life, I've desired to live fully. All my life, I've purposed to dream big, to try those things that seem impossible. And when people try to tell me that I can't, my only response is, why not? Just because I was born with no arms or no legs doesn't mean I can't accomplish great things. I love life and everything it has to offer. I want to live it with energy and enthusiasm. It can be described with one simple word, verve. There are many words that people have used to describe me. Enthusiastic, animated, full of life. I'm in vigorous pursuit of God, my passions, my dreams, the place where I live and exist, the convergence of hope and possibility, the security of knowing that my future is not held hostage by my circumstance. The act of living out God's purpose and plan and seeing how it impacts others in such a dramatic and life-changing way, there is no better life for me or for anyone else who will live their life for Jesus Christ. Yes, verve is the right word. It is most descriptive and verbally animated. God's life in me and through me.
Good morning. Isn't it wonderful to be alive? You know, under some circumstances, people would say yes, and then some other circumstances, you sometimes don't feel like smiling. Sometimes you don't have this level of faith that you wish you could have or wish you did have. And today is all about faith, to be a servant of the Most High King. And I'm so joyful to report that last year, Life Without Limbs Ministry went across 14 countries, We actually, in a span from October 1 to December 16, over 10 weeks, we reached out to 500,000 people, 10 countries, 10 weeks, 110 engagements. And I met a king, the king of Ghana. I met president of Liberia. And it's really cool. Like, these kings in Africa, they have a throne and everything. And it's so cool. Like, they got a scepter and everything. And they wanted to take my fingerprints, but I was short of them. But it's really cool how, you know, they want to take a photo with me. And so they put me on the armrest of the throne and my head's above him. You know, it's so funny. Or, you know, they put me on the president's desk where no one's allowed to put their feet up. I can stand on. But why? Because we know that we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen? This is the truth. And in that faith, my parents also had strength to raise a son with no arms and no legs. I was born this way. And no one had any clue that by the age of 26 that I'd be able to preach to 3 million people face to face. And I'm so thankful to God that we've seen so far 200,000 first decisions for Christ that are being followed up by churches on the ground. And it's just amazing to be here with you. And I pray that this is encouraging for you today. I'm standing on a table, and sometimes, you know, when you get a bit closer to the edge, you know, I don't know if you're going to have a heart attack or anything, but I'm just going to be careful. If I'm here on the edge and I look down, don't you think I'd be a little bit scared to jump off? Just a little bit. I mean, I don't want to break my arm or something. You know, fear. If I stay here for a long time and I stare at that ground, I'm thinking, okay, I'm ready. No matter how long I stay here, I will always have a fear that I have to overcome. You see, I've heard many preachers say that courage is not an absence of fear, but courage is when you do it afraid. That's what courage is. But how? How did my parents raise such a good-looking son? I don't know how I would be. My mother, it took her 4 months to come to terms with the fact that God allowed her son to be born without limbs. My parents were leaders of a church, planted a church 11 months before I was born. How can you have faith when you have fear? F-E-A-R, the acronym for fear, I've heard, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. But you get courage by your faith in Jesus Christ. Because it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. It's not by my strength that I can smile. It's not by my strength that I can thank God for what I have instead of being angry at Him for what I do not have. That was not the strength of Nick Vujicic. But I stand before you as a miracle of God that you can see God living in me. And I want to talk about the faith that we have. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about faith, well, you know, how can we believe in a God that allows bad things to happen? It's an absolutely fair question. We all have questions. Many don't find their answers and spend a lifetime of learning, but never coming to acknowledge the truth. You see, the truth is so important to acknowledge because the truth will set you free. You know, whatever you're in pursuit for, that video, Verve, you know, it's in the context of Verve describing vigor in spirit. I am in vigorous pursuit of God because I know whatever I put my heart and mind to here on earth with a job, with a career, and if I put my security in one day hoping, you know, to accomplish this or acquire this or have a family and get married, whatever you put here on earth as your security that's holding your world up, everything but Jesus Christ is temporary. Everything but Jesus Christ is limited. You can be married and still feel alone. You can be rich, yet be more poor than orphans I've seen in Africa. What is that? Faith. How do we get faith? Trying to believe that God has a plan for a man without arms and legs. Come on, are you serious? If you were at the bedside of my mum as she was giving me birth, and you tell her, don't worry, it's all good. Come on. Try tell that mother who had this doctor who did this surgery, amazing surgery. Don't you think there was a little bit of fear there? Yes. But we trusted in the one who knows. They trusted in the one who can do all things. The giver of life himself, God. The giver of grace, love, and mercy. And the value of knowing Christ is greater than any temporary pleasure, high, or possession here on earth. Money can't heal a broken heart, but Jesus can. And if I tell you that, you have a choice to believe it or not. See, I can't change your heart. I can't convince you to believe in Jesus. I'm an evangelist. I've never saved a soul in my life. I can't even save myself. It's the Holy Spirit that as you hear the word this morning, that the gift of faith comes by hearing of the word, and then by His grace, you make a commitment to walk and trust and pray and thank and grow and learn and love and hold on to. God never fails. He will never fail you. It's a promise. Well, Nick, how can I believe that? Well, one of the first songs that I've ever learned as a child, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. Man, that's all I've got. That's all I need. By His grace, I believe. You know, faith, it's an amazing thing. Without my faith, I wouldn't be here. At age 8, I did not have faith. I did not find purpose. There is no meaning, there is no purpose in pursuing anything here on earth if everything is temporary and nothing can actually penetrate your heart. Like someone who understands, you can be crying on a friend's shoulder, but that's all they can do. They can only hold you, but they can't understand. Jesus can. The truth of knowing that tears are a language that God understands is the greatest comfort of all. And that's why I'm happy. I was just in Brooklyn Tabernacle a couple weeks ago, and one of the sisters was taking a photo, and she's like, "Happiness!" And I'm like, that is so cool. Happiness! I'm doing it all the time. What is happiness? What is it? It's when you know God. It is. It's the greatest purpose to live for. At age 8, I didn't have that purpose. At age 8, I didn't have that hope. And I tried to give up in a bathtub. Thank God that I'm still here. Thank God that at least one soul has seen this miracle. Not glory to me, not power to me, all to Him. In Psalm 37, in fact, you heard it before, but I want to just read it again. Trust in the Lord and do good, from verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. In the King James Version, it says rest. Everybody say rest. Rest is so good. Rest is so good. You know, we get so busy. And it's funny how we're being busy digging holes, trying to find things that are going to give us rest. And we never stop digging. If you never stop digging, you'll never find rest. When you find out that the rest is not from down below, but up from above. That's what He's done for me. I've seen God in my life. And I delight in Him. Who is Jesus for me? He is my King. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. But man, through His power, I become more than a conqueror. Who am I conquering? The devil and his lies. Nick, you're not good enough. Nick, this is too hard for you. No, by the word of God, this is the sword of the Spirit that can break any chain of depression, any chain of addiction, any chain of loneliness, and he doesn't have to change a circumstance. That God can use this. If God doesn't give you a miracle, you are a miracle for someone else. Can I share with you an amazing story? Last year in Orange County, I was speaking at a church, and in the crowd was a little boy. His name was Daniel, 19 months old. He had no arms and he had no legs, except for my little foot down here. He had a little foot just like me. It was so cool. Put soul to soul, full foot to foot, you know, do the peace sign and everything. It was so cute. But we brought him up on stage and everybody stopped. You could hear a pin drop and then crying. Why? Because it was a miracle. If God let me go through this suffering, first of all, so I need him, and so God can use me to save that other soul. Can you imagine? His parents went through the exact same thing my parents went through. The doctors told them, your son may not walk, your son may not go to school. If he has a wheelchair, we have no idea what wheelchair he's going to need. Exactly the same thing that my parents heard when I was born. We are so sorry, we don't know what to do. We don't know of anybody else. You're alone. And that morning, my parents were on a plane from Australia to come visit me in California, where I now live. And I saw them speak to each other. And Daniel's mother came up to me and said, Nick, when I hugged you for the first time, it felt like I was hugging my son 24 years later. You have no idea how long I've been praying that God would send me a sign to let me know that he has not forgotten me or my son. You are a miracle. You are a miracle. God can use all things if you give him. First of all, delight yourself in the Lord, who he is to you. Through the power of Christ, whatever Christ conquered, I can conquer. There is no other religious leader ever in the history of man who pointed to themselves as divinity except Jesus Christ. Jesus was the only authority to forgive sin because he had no sin. Anyone who has sin does not have that authority, but Jesus. He was holy. He died on the cross, and whatever Jesus conquered, he conquered the grave. I'm going to conquer the grave. Jesus conquered the devil and the lies. I'm going to conquer the devil and the lies. That's where Jesus is, the foundation of all that I am. You take out my eyes, take off my nose, take out my tongue, take off my ears, but you'll never take away my Jesus. And whether you believe me or not, by his grace, I hope that you do, because here we go. Here's an illustration talking about wanting to believe something, but you just can't believe it. People say these days, Nick, you have one foot. Why? Because you only see one foot. People say, well, Nick, I don't really believe what you believe because I believe that your own faith determines reality. I don't agree. Because you could look at me and say, well, Nick has one foot. What if I told you I had 2 feet? Would you believe me if I had 2 feet? Would you believe me if I had 3 feet? If I said that, what would you believe? Whatever you believe doesn't change the facts. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Again, here's my little foot. I got a little foot, little junior here, man. Here it is. There it is. It's one little toe. And it hides up there. All right? Faith is not about feeling. Faith is not about seeing. Faith is believing whether you see or not. Believing whether you feel or not. I don't feel like praising God. Well, is God worthy of your praise? Yes. He is the greatest delight of my life. And I can trust in him. These are all verbs. Delight, trust, commit, and rest. Rest. Every human being has to come to terms with surrendering what happens to their soul after their last breath. My soul is in the hands of God. And the evidence of His Spirit in me gives me peace, love, and joy beyond compare. Are you getting this? I don't want to just make you feel good. Maybe it's not the average message you've heard from me before. But this is so true. Without God, I am alone. You know, I don't know what you're going through today, but I know who does. I know that He loves you, and there is nothing that you can do or not do that will change His love for you. He has such a plan for your life, and I don't understand what you're going through. I don't know your pain, but wait upon the Lord. Call upon Him, seek Him, and you will find Him. His grace is sufficient. If money holds your world up today, it may crumble. But if you let Jesus hold your world up today and lift you up, He will never fail you. Just in your heart right now, you might be seeing me across the building, or right now in your home, I want you to just close your eyes and just say this prayer with me. Lord God, I need You. I can't do this on my own. I want to know You more. Help me to trust You. Help me to believe in You. And help me to rest in Your arms. Father, I just ask that every single person who's heard this message this morning all around the world would be touched by Your Holy Spirit. Depression, sadness, sorrow, loss. We thank You, God, that You are with us and You'll never leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you today. I love you and thank you all.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you His peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come and stand before Jesus in that day which for you there will be no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Happy Sunday. God bless.
Ja, daar kun je eigenlijk niet met droge ogen naar kijken. Zo'n verhaal, wat is dat? Ja, geen woorden voor. Bijzonder. En ik ga er ook niet te veel over zeggen. Maar iedereen heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Als je wilt reageren op onze uitzending, van harte, schrijf naar ons of mail naar ons www.hourofpower.nl. Bellen mag natuurlijk ook. Wij zijn iedereen heel hartelijk dankbaar voor de ondersteuning. De vele donateurs die iedere week weer mogelijk maken dat we 2 uur kunnen uitzenden. Graag tot volgende week. En dan hoopt de oude dominee Schuller, dominee Robert Harold, de preek te houden. Goeie zondag.